saying how much they want a strong woman. What they really want is a cheerleader.
I'd like someone who's physically very frail and won't stop talking.
I just want what everybody wants. I just seem to have a harder time getting it.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to Maximum Film. It's episode 327, and we about to get hornier than those minutes in heaven. You know what I'm talking about. Those parties, you get in the closet and you do something. I'm your host, Iffy Whitey Way, and in the booth with me are my friends. So let me introduce you to them. First up, we have the Christmas Zaddy himself, an esteemed, wonderful critic, just a good hugger, great beard. Alonzo Duralde, what's good?
I will take all of these as credits. Thank you. I am a big fan of the card game Cinephile. It is a fun game where you are, there's a deck that has these really great illustrations of all these movie stars, and there are various games where you have to sort of connect the films they were in, or you can do threads where you go from film to title or person to title and all that kind of thing. But then they also have a side gig that they call Lil Cinephile, where they do these really adorable kids' books to sort of introduce children to the concept of genre filmmaking, which, you know, if you're the right kind of nerd parent, I think this would be right up your alley. So anyway, they have just put out a volume 2 box set just in time for the holidays with my first spaghetti western, my first Yakuza movie, and my first Hollywood musical. So, if you are shopping for kids, if you are shopping for parents, these are fun and they've got really great drawings. And Iffy, the Hollywood musical one, has Judy Garland from A Star Is Born on the cover, which we discussed here on the program. Not Renee Zellweger, but actual Judy Garland. Anyway, it's very cool, and it's my What's Good this week.
I love that, and there is no game that more sharply puts into focus the absolute bubble I live in, which is film being a total shorthand of conversation. Mm. Not just to talk about films, but to, like, explain a situation.
Sure.
And then you get around normal people, and they're like, I don't know. So you play Cinephile with those people, and they're like, I don't know, Tom Cruise movies. What do you want me to what? So good.
Yes, indeed. Well, that other voice you heard with that slight Midwestern twang, very slight, is the Queen of the Midwest herself, Super Festival programmer, producer, also a great hugger, wears great dresses, takes great photos, gives great compliments. It is Drea Clark. What's good?
Aren't you just the nicest hype man today? Look at you, kid. What's good for me is, you guys, once again, the U.S. government is sending 4 free COVID tests to per household.
Let's go.
And every time it comes up, it will be my what's good, because I love COVID testing. Don't love COVID. Don't love this world. Love a free test. COVIDtest.gov. 4 tests will be shipped directly to your sweet, sweet hands for your usage to tell the people that you're hanging out with, you know what? I care. I care indeed.
I got my new set.
Oh, man. Yeah, I definitely need to get that new set, get it locked and loaded. But I also just have so many that I just have a bunch in the house.
Well, you know what? I'm not gonna surprise anybody when I tell you I derive a lot of joy from getting my other COVID test, going through the expiration date website and the extension of expiration. Do I write with Sharpie markers on all of them? I sure do. Ask me about my expiration dates. Oh, my God. My cat is so talky today. Marissa, please leave all of these in. Trillian also wants you to continue being safe in this COVID-y world.
Safe in this COVID-y world. Put that on a banner. But you know who else we should put on a banner? Well, it's Pop Culture Maven, host of the afternoon special. We haven't hugged yet, but I'm going to just say vibe check, vibe-wise, aura, signs, based on the big 3, which I don't know, but I get the vibe and aura. Bobby Miller, what's good?
Yay, welcome, Bobby.
Thank you for having me. By the way, I'm a Cancer moon, so I'm like legally obligated.
Me too.
To be, my friends, Cancer moons, all of us crying all the time.
Yeah.
I'm loving my local library. I got my library card today.
Nice.
That has been my what's good before new best friend.
Mine too. Yeah. Three people have had that as their what's good. Yeah.
It's just
you
so
just got
important.
A new card.
Yes, I have lived in the city where I'm at, my hometown, for like 20 plus years, and I didn't have a library card for some reason. And I was with my mom today, and we swung by the new library that they built in our town, and it's beautiful. And she was like, "Oh, do you want to get your library card today?" And I was like, "Why not?" And I did, and it was an amazing experience. I'm so excited to read all of the pop culture books that I am like have been on my TBR for a very long time. And yeah, just support your local libraries, guys.
Have you heard of the good news about Canopy?
Yes,
I have.
Ooh, here we go.
Yep. Does your library subscribe? Does it get you access?
I haven't checked yet. I'm hoping that they do. And also the Libby app. I think that's the main reason why I wanted to get the library card, because I love a good ebook. So
Hoopla too is fun.
Ooh, Hoopla. I've never heard of that.
It's another streaming service which has movies, but also audiobooks and even like albums.
Awesome. I love that. I'm so excited now.
Yes. So the sub theme is things your tax dollars go towards that you actually enjoy. COVID tests, libraries. Woo! Iffy, what's good with you?
Yes, sir.
What it do? How's it going? What's good with me? Well, a lot of things. But if I have to pick one, if I had to narrow it down, I was in Philadelphia, for PAX Unplugged, which is the Penny Arcade Expo, which is a long-running webcomic about video games, which has become a big brand that does conventions on both coasts, PAX East, PAX West, PAX West in Seattle, PAX East in Boston, Bobby. I was in Philadelphia, and PAX Unplugged is all about tabletop games. So, you know, PAX, since it's all video games, they do Unplugged, which is about tabletop games, but it's also a fun place to check out fun independent tabletop games that you might not have played, or do demos of games so you can learn how to play. Like, me and Em sat down to do Battletech, which is like a mech game that can be very crunchy. And for non-tabletop heads, a crunchy game means complicated. Like, it could be, it's a lot of minutiae. Like, for example, someone tried to stand up, and if you fall over, you have to roll the dice to see which direction you fall. Then you roll to see how much damage you take from that fall. Then you roll to see which part of your mech gets damaged. So that, you know, that's crunch. But I was like, I'm not going to read through the book, because I'm someone who's at the game night, I'm waiting for you to shut up so I can just play it, and then I'm going to figure it out. So I love a demo table. I go there and I play the demos, which is good. But I do like supporting independent games. Much like we like supporting independent movies, I do the same for all types of media. Try and support independent. And there's a new one that I got called Trash Talk, where one player plays a raccoon that is trying to communicate with a family of possums, and all the other players are the family of possums. And it's a word association game, and there's little knickknacks that are trash. So you'll have like a little thing that looks like a planter, and then it'll be a tiny slinky or an ice cream cone. And so based on the words, you have to try and decide what the person who is the raccoon is using for each word. So it's like, and you can add your own pieces of trash to it. It seems like a very fun party game. It was very fun in the demo, and I think Naomi will get a kick out of a game like that. So we got it. So PAX Unplugged is my what's good.
Solid game rep. And if Naomi ever wants to just get into what actual trash and raccoons and opossums look like, she can come visit me.
Oh no, she can just look out the window, because the possums are possuming, right? Because for a while we didn't know why all the cats, that's a bonus what good, we got tuna neutered, nuts deleted, they were all hanging at the back door, and we're like, what is going on?
Oh, I thought
and
you meant the nuts, like, at first, sorry.
I did too. Yeah. I don't think your vet did it right. Yeah.
Yeah. but like, we know there's like two identical stray cats that are both black, that are in the backyard. So we're like, oh, maybe it's that. And then like, there was like a huge turd one time, and I was like, oh, that's real weird. And then one time we were leaving out the back, and there's like a bunch of possums. I was like, ah. And I was like,
so
oh, I hate
fact,
this.
We have We have opossums in California, and they're the ones with like the rat tail. A possum has like the big furry tail.
I didn't know there was a difference. Because you know, I grew up out here, so that's always been a possum to me.
Oh, well, you guys, welcome. Welcome to Maximum Film.
I'm learning so much.
That sounds
already.
Like a Disney song too. Always been a possum to me, you know.
Drea is the Diane Fossey of possums.
Oh, God. Ooh. Hope that doesn't stick.
Oh, no. I hope. Look, that's the pin for this year's Max FunCon. That's the pin. All right. I'm going to jump right into it. We're going to be getting obsessed with Saltburn, a movie that had my name written all over it. Then we're going to tell you which movie characters we wish would just kiss already. But first, it's time for ITIDIC, our movie news segment where the acronym stands for Is This Important? Do I Care? Where we read through the week's movie news and decide if it's important and if we care. Drea, why don't you kick this off?
Okay. Speaking of movies, when AMC slotted Beyoncé's concert film for the first weekend in December, a lot of folks wondered why. It is a notoriously dead weekend for cinemas, but B beat the odds. See, B, I do beehive B. Get out of here with your bays. The $22 million domestic opening might not break any box office records, but it is stellar for its spot on the calendar, just $2 million behind that weekend's record holder, The Last Samurai from 2003. And because no studios were involved, Beyoncé is taking home around 50% of that gross. Is this important? Do you care?
Look, I'm a believer of the if you build it, they will come rule of thumb because, I mean, sure, yes, like Labor Day weekend and maybe some other ones are like definitely people have other things going on. But there are so many like, oh, well, it's a given that blah, it doesn't work in this slot. Or like over the last few years, we've seen like, you know, like Black Panther opened in February, which is not when you open a superhero movie and it made all the money. So, you know, I think when you've got something like this, particularly something that's unique and not just one of a million kinds of the same thing, you know, that audience shows up and maybe they're people that don't even normally go to the movies and they're going to show up. So, yeah, like take some chances. Roll the dice, people.
Yes. And it's Beyoncé, you know.
Want to show that. Up?
You know, I'm happy for her. Get it in. You know, let's do it. And also, I'm happy for the reason. You know, I'm not immune to this because I posted mine. But Spotify does not pay artists what they're worth. They're giving them pennies and laying off people, charging me too much money. And so I like when artists can, you know, enter a deal where they're getting 50% of the profits and not 0.001 cent of every stream. So shout out.
Don't she and Jay-Z have their own like streaming thing?
Tidal. Yes, I am paying for that too for some reason. I should only be paying for one, but I'm paying for Apple Music. But that makes sense because Apple does the thing where they're like, we're going to make all of our things equally, because if you want one, you can just get Apple One and you get everything with it. And there was a time where I was deep in my Apple Fitness Plus and, you know, Apple Plus. So I was like, okay, cool. I might as well pay for one. So I'm also technically paying for Apple Music as well and news, which, you know, whatever.
Just curious, did anybody else go see Beyonce this weekend?
I was in Philly, but I wanted to. Me, Demi, Ibanda, our Renaissance crew were supposed to ride again, but I was on the other coast.
I have not seen it. I watched the concert for free on TikTok via a succession of live streams.
Everybody's exciting. Got their phone up the whole time in that audience.
If
you can see it.
If That's people fair. Are going to live stream, I'm going to watch. So it's a symbiotic relationship.
You don't make the rules. I get it.
Yeah. I do like this for December. I mean, I think, you know, if you're doing any sort of programming, this is either award season and like, oh, the best stuff, or nothing fun. Like there's a couple of, in the theaters anyway, obviously sure. there's a ton of more fun things. Anyway, I like the idea of good concerts coming out here. And we already talked about how the concert releases are going to be a real race to the bottom. So it's nice to still be here at the top.
Yeah.
So yeah, can't wait to see it. Can't wait till the Spirit Awards nominations are out, and I can.
Yes, indeedy. All right. PlayStation will be deleting content even if its users already paid for it. This one falls a little outside of our normal purview, since it's mostly about TV shows, especially reality shows like Mythbusters and Dirty Jobs, but it's a good reminder that digital content is not as permanent as we sometimes like to think, or as they sold you, I would like to say. PlayStation users got notice recently that certain shows from Discovery TV will be automatically removed from their devices. This is different from when shows are removed from streaming platforms, even when users who bought and downloaded specific episodes and seasons of the shows like Long Island Medium and Cake Boss will have their digital belongings repossessed. Is this important? Do you care?
Repossessed. The wording. Oh, these people.
To quote the Beastie Boys, let me clear my throat. Yeah, this is second verse, same as the first. Like you quote unquote buy something on a digital platform, on Amazon, on iTunes or whatever. The fine print that you have never bothered to read, and why would you, gives them the right to just yank it back without any kind of, you know, I mean, yes, you got a little warning here, but that's it. You don't get a refund. You don't get your content. It's just adios. So again, I know I'm the guy who's always banging this drum, but Blu-rays, DVDs, 4Ks, this is how you get to keep the stuff that you want for as long as you want it and not have somebody else decide that you don't get to have it anymore. So, you know, it's appalling and it's, you know, more, I'm sure, Zaslav shenanigans if this is all Discovery crap. But, yeah, this is the nightmare we live in, y'all. And the only way around it, if you want to actually have any sense of permanence with this stuff and not buy the same stuff over and over and over again, is to buy it once on physical media.
Yes.
If Ricky Carmona was here, he would just want me to chime in, of course, that it was DJ Kool that said, let me clear my throat first.
Thank you.
Sampled by the Beastie Boys.
Appreciate it.
I feel that would haunt me if I didn't put that in. But I'm totally with Alonzo. It's one area where I get real in the same zone as my libertarian brother of, yeah, you should just like own everything that you want to own and then like bury it in your yard to keep it safe. And that's what you should do with your viewing apparatus as well.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. You know, just to once again, bang on the sign. That's what I sent this to the group chat and said, it's time for Alonzo to tap the sign. And that's why it's a TV thing, but we're talking because it's very important. And it was very funny because of course, since this is around a PlayStation, it was in video game Twitter, which means you had a lot of people armchair being like, yeah, did you actually know that you're only licensing it? And so, yeah. And it's like, you don't approach it like that, because like what is happening right now is people are going under the assumption of long-standing language around purchasing things. For the longest, up until the digital age, when you purchase something, you had it. Even when you bought the ultraviolet copy of something, they're like, here's a code, and it's your code, and then you can save it to your computer. So this is wild, because I think, you know, when it happens on streaming, it's a little more like, yeah, of course, the streaming site is gone. You can never see the episodes of TV I'm in on CISO because that site disappeared. But when it goes as far to be like, yes, you paid for it and downloaded it, but we are pulling it off of your device.
Yeah.
That is way more than I think anyone ever claimed. So I think, once again, I think about this too, because I was hanging out with a friend of the pod, Demi Adijuibe, and he had his Blu-ray collection. And, you know, he's a little younger than me, and then his friends are younger than him. And they were like, you got Blu-rays? Why you got Blu-rays? And I was just like, what are y'all talking? Like, we are actively seeing stuff get pulled off of streaming. Like, I get if we set this a couple years ago, why you'd be like, you know, confused, but like we are actively seeing shows just disappear off of streaming platforms, and even more so now that they're going to have to start paying people their worth. So yeah, go ahead and buy them Blu-rays, keep it. And also they look cool and usually have cool art and things on them.
Yeah. Extras, you know, yeah. Bobby, are you a physical media person?
Oh my gosh. Love, 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 love physical media.
Excellent. The future is ours, I'm telling you.
It is.
And speaking of the future, the antics of former congressional diva George Santos are decidedly funnier now that he's no longer an actual sitting congressman. His grift, his pathological lying, and general bizarre behavior will likely be the subject of documentaries for years to come. But HBO has a biopic in the works, adapted from a brand new book about Santos by Mark Chisano. Frank Rich, who's executive producer on Veep and Succession, is working on the film. Is this important? Do you care?
First off, if this isn't called Diva Down, what are we even doing? Because when that was like something that made, you guys know I am not good at social media, and I even heard about that when he was expelled from Congress. Hilarious. But also just the beauty of HBO, of anyone making money off of George Santos that he will not get because he is a public figure. So like they are not licensing or paying him in the way you would if you were optioning someone's life rights or something. Like this is a separate entity that I find delicious. That like ultimate scammer who like wrote off, who got tax or sorry. What am I looking for? When you're running election.
Yes.
Yeah.
He got election money and he was like, cool, I'm using that for Botox. And you know what? Fair enough, sir. Fair enough. But also, you're getting grifted now. You're the grifter.
Well, I love it. And it's also the kind of thing that, like, if anybody wrote this, you'd never believe it. It's only because it's a true story that we have to go, I guess that actually did happen then.
It is ugly that he will be so quickly forgiven for the disgusting things that he helped vote and pass through. Mm-hmm. And then it will just be a funny, like, oh, I got a cameo from that guy or like, you
know, he'll be on Dancing with the Stars within a year.
Yeah. Things like that. I'm not a fan of that. Please don't let him get away with things. Feel free to not serve him if he comes into your restaurant.
Yes.
But, you know, the world's going to world. We've all watched the world before.
They do it so hard.
Yes. Yes, indeed. All right. Well, on that note, we're going to take a quick break. But when we come back, we're talking about Salzburg.
It's the holiday season, so hoop-de-doo and dickery-dock and save time and stay on track with your healthy lifestyle while tacking all of your holiday to-dos with Factor, America's number one ready-to-eat meal delivery service. Factor isn't just for dinner. Count on extra convenience any time of day with an assortment of more than 55 add-ons to suit various preferences and tastes. Choose from quick breakfast items, lunch-to-go, grab-and-go snacks, and ready-to-drink cold-pressed juices, shakes, and smoothies.
Yes, indeed. Like I said, even before this, I was using Factors. And if you're like me, a meathead, and watching Saltburn and seeing these creative push-ups done in graveyards, you're like, damn, how am I going to do that? Well, remember, abs are made in the kitchen. So you need Factor, who's going to go ahead and make those meals for you so you have one less thing to think about so you can focus thinking about your enemies. So go ahead and get your Factor. They have it ready for you. The meals are great. You can tell them what you like, what you don't, and it'll always be stuff that you actually want
to
eat.
Head to factormeals.com/maxfilm50 and use code maxfilm50 to get 50% off. That's code MAXFILM50 at factormeals.com/maxfilm50 for 50% off.
All right, let's get back to the show. All right, welcome back to Maximum Film. I'm Yosef Uwadiway. In the studio with me are
Drea Clark,
Bobby Miller,
Alonso Duralde.
Today we're talking about the second film from director Emeril Fennell, and it stars Barry Keoghan and Jacob Elordi. And like last week's film premiered at Telluride, Drea, would you mind giving us a brief synopsis of Saltburn?
Oh my gosh, I'm so nervous, but I will. I absolutely will. So it is the year 2006, one of the best years, no one said, and we are following...
Year if he graduated.
Get out of here.
High school.
Home. You shut it. You let me do this,
leave
child.
This house.
Let your elder speak. high school. Anyway, it's 2006, the year of Livestrong bracelets and iffy graduating kindergarten, and we are in Oxford with a bunch of nerds and many of them wealthy, And in the middle of it is a young man named Oliver Quick. Sure, why not have his name be Oliver Quick? And he is there. He strikes up a friendship finally after, you know, being down in the mucks of the unloved and uncool, befriended by hot Felix Catton, who's very wealthy and very charming. And Oliver's friendship with him leads him to being invited to spend the summer at Felix's family home called Saltburn, because Oliver has just gone through some tragedies, lost his father. Things are rough, but aren't they going to get better now? Aren't they? Da-da! And then he gets to Saltburn, and it's just absolute lunacy. All right! Aristocracy, money, nonsense, parties that you wish you were at. Saltburn.
So, you know, this is what I imagine Pride and Prejudice and other Jane Austen books are like. It was like, oh, this is what Drea be reading about right here. It is spicy.
Jane Austen with cocaine.
I was just going to say, I very am excited by the version of Jane Austen you've created.
Yeah. This is what it is in my head. And not even what the few pages I read when I was going to take AP English and then didn't finish the book. I think I have a blog post about complaining about Pride and Prejudice, but that is another thing we'll talk about. But first, we're going to, did anybody see this with an audience, or did all of us watch it at home?
I did go to a press screening, and it was full of folks. And people dug it more than I did, I think. There's a lot I appreciate here, especially as somebody who was very not a fan of Promising Young Woman. I do love the style here. I think there's a sense of humor. The performances are a lot of fun to watch. And there's definitely moments where you want to be with a crowd of people going, you know, because we often complain about the lack of horniness in mainstream cinema. And Emerald Fennell has been very like, hold my Pouli Fousse on that front, and is really like going into some R-rated territory here that we don't get a lot from contemporary filmmakers. So definitely kudos for that. Bob, did you see it with folks or at home?
No, I did go to see it in a theater. I was completely alone. I was the only person in there. And also, there are three theaters in my town, and this was the only showing within the entire town amongst any of the three theaters. So needless to say that the South, I don't think, is necessarily feeling Saltburn.
You were the per screen average.
Yes, I was its biggest fan and its biggest rival, it seemed. I'm convinced I'm probably the only person in my town who have seen it. But yeah, I was at it by myself, experiencing all that is Saltburn, and I still don't necessarily know if that was a good thing. I don't know how I'm feeling about it. I'm still chewing on it, but it certainly is a swing. And as a horny enthusiast, I appreciate the swings that it took, for sure.
Swings are great for horniness. Mm-hmm. See what I did there? You see?
I'm right there with you.
Yeah, I'll jump in. I fucking loved this movie, and part of it is I loved it because I was like, oh, she's not doing any messaging. So I was very surprised when I saw people afterwards being critical of what they saw as kind of a lackadaisical or nonsense class study. I'm like, oh, she's not trying to tell you anything about it. She is just a woman who read English at Oxford and knows a lot of rich people and was like, oh, I'd like to set this total insane bloody soap opera in that world. And for me, I found the best way to view it, and what I kept telling was, like, obviously, you know, you get a lot of talented Mr. Ripley references, but I was like, oh no, this is just a hornier Heathers that wants to look like a Park Chan-wook film. And I think the thing that I actually found the most exciting about it was, and I'm also different than Alonzo because I did really enjoy Promising Young Woman as well, but I felt that this one was a fascinating next a follow-up to that, because Promising Young Woman to me was so story heavy. It was so, I am a writer and I want you to, these are the things I want you to chew on and take away. And I felt that with Saltburn, it was so much more of a directorial effort. Like, there are some beautiful, beautiful sequences. I mean, when I tell you that she has weaponized the close-up in a way that I haven't seen an American, or she's not American. Oh, forget it. I haven't seen it in a long time. Like, because a lot of people, you know, you get even just standard scene construction of, oh, our establishing, and then we have a two shot, and then an over the shoulder. She uses these close-ups in fascinating ways. Her framing, the characters who are out of like, just the directorial choices she's giving us are beautiful, and then what they allow the performances to do and breathe is really fun to watch. Because I think that even if you're like, oh, this movie is nonsense, or this movie's class policy, if you're reading into it in a way that I was not, I still think there's a lot visually to enjoy in this that was really delicious and new.
Yeah, I also was a huge fan of this movie. Also what I called Eat the Rich, the movie. Because I just looked at it as something who took a simple concept and just kind of like blew it out stylistically. You know, I'm going to just say right here, we're going to get into spoilers. There are some spoiler stuff that you might not want to know before seeing it. So this is your warning that we do sometimes to let you know that we're going to go into spoilers. And it is very important that you know that there are spoilers. It's going to be, they're coming. It's going to be part of what I'm about to say. Literally as soon as I'm done.
I beg you to say it. Saying
that. Yeah, it took the concept of a guy kills rich people to take over their life and just was like, all right, now let's have as much fun as we can. You know, we know it's there. It's based off the obsession. I do think it had great things to talk about, class stuff. I think the American cousin character was very interesting in that way, because it was like, yeah, you are also an outsider in this world, but because, you know, you're getting the crumbs and you're trying to fight to be in, the only way you know to feel superior is to bully this person. And like, in lines, there's kind of proof that he probably did the same thing to the friend before that. It's like, you are lower than them. And it's just such a perfect example of class in general. It's the whole reason that we have the class divide, because you need someone to feel better than, so that you can feel like you fit in with the people who don't even want you to be a part of them. So that was an interesting look.
Yeah, and everybody's talking about Barry Keoghan and you know, Rosamund Pike, and rightly so, but Archie Madekwe as that character, as the sort of like, you know, kind of the super gatekeeper, because he knows he's barely in, you know, himself, I thought was really great. And he, weirdly enough, was like, where do I know that guy? Why do I know that guy? And he was in the Gran Turismo movie.
Yeah.
Wow. Oh, was also in Midsommar, which it's not a huge Chewy role, but like, even his part in it, you know, that is so wild. I didn't even know that.
I want to chime in. I totally agree. Obviously, classism is at play here. I mean, the whole construct of it is at the backbone of it. I mean, more, I don't think Emerald Fennell was like, you should leave here feeling differently.
Oh, yeah.
I've given you something to learn. Like, that's more what I mean in terms of...
No, I agree with you. She's having fun with it. But like, what you would call the high class Heathers, I thought more of a sort of weak tea Teorema, which is like, you know, the Pasolini movies in the 60s, or like Something for Everyone, or Down and Out in Beverly Hills. Like, the interloper invades the rich families, like, compound, and seduces each of them one by one in the way that they need to be seduced to get what he wants. Even like, there's a great exploitation film called Angel, Angel, Down We Go, where a very charismatic, like, you know, hippie does that to these rich folks. And it's fun, and that's a fun genre, and she's having a good time with it. But I just was kind of hoping that I was going to see something I hadn't really seen before, and I didn't get that. But I would say what she's doing with as much style as possible. And again, eliciting these really great performances. Dave was thrilled that because of the 2006 setting, we got the Cheeky Girls Christmas song, which was a British novelty song from these two like Transylvanian sisters who had a brief moment as the Cheeky Girls. Their whole, all of their songs were sort of ass oriented. Like their hit was Touch My Bum. I mean, it's, you know, and Dave's of course obsessed with them. So just little goofy flourishes like that. And of course, I don't think we'll ever hear Murder on the Dance Floor in the same way again.
Bobby, what were your, I mean, did you like this as a progression from Promising Young Woman, or did this sort of fall into what you were expecting, or was it totally different than what you thought it would be?
So this was my first film from her. So I hadn't seen Promising Young Woman.
By the way, I wanted that to be just your full sentence. This was my first film.
This is my first film. And it started off strong with the first film. So I went in, I tried to block out as much noise as I could. I've heard a lot of the constructive criticism around her and her direction and kind of her writing style. And so I tried my best to be as objective as I could, but I could not ignore that the landing, the ending, probably the third act was where things began to crumble. And that was something that I had been hearing pretty consistently about just her as a writer. Like, I think I was having a blast for the first two acts. Like, I when I wasn't thinking about the half-baked, I think, class commentary. That's the best way I can describe it. I agree. I don't think she was necessarily saying, look, learn this thing. But I also do think she kind of wanted the audience to walk away maybe having some thoughts about class. So I don't think it was necessarily fully like she was kind of having it toy in the background. But then we get to the end and I'm like, okay. Like, I saw myself conceding to the third act. I wasn't wowed. I thought it kind of overstayed its welcome just a little bit. But I just was just like, sure. Okay. Like, I guess that's how we're wrapping things up. But it isn't to say that, like, I echo everyone's sentiments. Stylistically, it's gorgeous. There are so many shots that I was like, wow, that's a really good shot. Like, that was just, it tells a really great story. And I think if the focus had just been on, like, being like a vibes film and just kind of being raucous and horny and depraved from start to finish, without trying to be anything more than that, I think I would have enjoyed it just a little bit more.
I loved and honestly, if full disclosure, it's probably because I've yet to not love everything that Barry Keoghan does as a performer. Like, I find him so engaging, such a unique presence. So many of us, like, the first thing we saw him in was Killing of a Sacred Deer. Yeah. So you're automatically like, oh, this is that a world-class, this is a world-class creepster, right? And then last year when he popped up in Banshees of Inisherin as, like, the ultimate dullard and just broke your heart. And I was like, oh, what a nice, like, dip to, oh, maybe he's not always going to be a creep. Oh, no, he is. Oh, he's definitely still going to always be a creep. But that I also felt to round the corner of just like, oh, you're like a full sociopath. How exciting for you. What a fun way to live your college years. Like, there was something about that the construct of it and all of the sort of onion reveals at the end, they were giving me very gothic mystery, very like, and I definitely agree. I can see this is certainly a film I would put on that sort of flavor continuum. Like, oh yeah, if this is not your flavor, then this is not the bite for you. But if it is your flavor, like, keep on chewing. Did I stick that metaphor okay, Alonso? I'm not always so good with them. It stayed in the food realm.
I mean, you didn't leap into another category, so yeah.
If this is not your flavor, then get off the train.
I'll allow it.
Yeah.
although you mentioned mystery, and I kind of wish there had been a little, like, this movie goes out of its way to underline and explain every single thing about itself, which I guess was intentional, but it just, to me, it sort of took away some of the juice.
Yeah. But also, I agree. I do think that it could have been truncated a bit, because once you kind of get what's happening, you're kind of just watching it happen. I think that, and you're just like, okay, so that's that. Because it's, and it is very slowly just hitting the beats you expect. And I think that if that was just You know, we see Felix fall over. We get kind of like quick moments of the depreciation of the family, and then get the reveal, which was like a fun moment. Yeah, then we get the fun dance scene. But all in all, I still was pretty happy with it. I loved the vibes of it all. And it was, it cracked me up. But I think this is starting to become, it's slowly becoming like a tastemaker, because I feel like, I also was buying what, was being sold in Promising Young Woman. I'm buying what's being sold here. I'm enjoying the flavor. It is my flavor, and it'll sit in my tongue as I slurp it out the drain.
I'll tell you, this movie, yeah, see, he did that. Don't you rather my half-assed attempt? I don't say things like slurp, so that's just the different things
Iffy and I bring to the table. You get slurp into that vernacular. Yeah. It's so useful.
Vote.
Yeah, so the way we vote for things on this pod is screen it being the highest, stream it being the next level, and skip it being self-explanatory. So who wants to start?
I think mine's pretty obvious. I think we're all maybe a little obvious. I'm a screen it. This was very fun. It's just a very fun, gothic, perverted, easy to watch thing. And mostly, I want the people watching it to know that I would like to shuffle off this mortal coil exactly like Rosamund Pike does, with a Barry Keoghan slithering up my comatose form. So please, everybody, just put it out there in your living will. Not for a long time, but when I go, that's how I want to go.
I mean, I'm kind of torn here, because on the level of like our rating system, I'm a stream it, but I think I'm a screen it in terms of what this movie has in its favor is the way that it looks and the way that it's been shot, and that is best appreciated in a theater. But I am still, a little underwhelmed by Emerald Fennell as an auteur. The twist here is that there is no twist at all. I feel like I've seen this plot done better before, but I did like looking at it, which is a step up from her previous film. So points for that.
I'm going to say stream it. As much as I was a little bit underwhelmed by the story, I would watch it again if someone was like, hey, like, I've never seen Saltburn and I'm curious about it. I'd watch it again in a heartbeat. If nothing else, unfortunately, because of who I am, it's a good thing I'm a vampire scene. So glad I was in a theater by myself for that scene, because I was like, wow.
Oh, not a Barry. First date movie, maybe. I'm gonna
It's for me, because I'm like, that's he just like me. And just know.
Setting the tone.
I'm a grown man.
That was the scene where I was like, oh, now I get what she's doing. Because there's no way a female director who understands how the body works is like, yes, that's what she would be wearing in this exact moment in time. And that's when I was like, oh, she knows that this is absolute flibberty gibbet nonsense. I'm in.
It was, I think the film hit its fever pitch for me there. I was like, okay, where are we going? And then it just kind of was on the downhill, but not in a bad way. But it's worth a watch. If nothing else, I think Barry Keoghan he really forms the movie for me. If it was anyone else, I don't necessarily know if it would have super landed. Jacob Elordi looking hot, being cute, doing his thing, being
unbelievably hot,
just gangly and tall, and all that stuff. But yeah, it's definitely worth a watch. Also, for the Interview with the Vampire, the TV show fans, absolutely stream it, please.
Yes, look, for me, there's many reasons I like this movie. Light skin Nigerian representation. I did my research. Archie is in fact Nigerian, mixed, but Nigerian. We gonna hold him down. We locking it down. Two, like I said, this is what, this to me, this is my Emma, like this is what it's going on. So much so that I went to see what a young 15-year-old Iffy Wadiway had to say about Emma. It took some digging, but the review is, because I had to read Emma and Lord of the Flies for history, for AP Honors English. And I said, Emma is long and boring. When I picked it up to read, I put it in my backpack and forgot to even read it. Durr, I wouldn't read it. It's not my type of story. It's about some chick with no life and she crying over her friend who got married and she can't talk to her.
Real.
So
you clearly only read the first 10 pages. Also,
and saw Clueless.
Notoriously short. It is such a short novel. Oh my God.
Okay, you gotta remember, I'm 15. That is long. That is a long ass book for a 15-year-old. This isn't Infinite Jest Loving Iffy.
I've never read that
book. He's 15 and it's the 21st century.
I was 10.
Yeah, yeah.
Oh my God, I love it. Anyway.
Yeah. Oh, when you see the it is my blog from that time. No blog post longer than a paragraph, and it is all just like stream of consciousness, and it's so hard to find, which is why I like keeping it up so I can remember how dumb I was before I get
this,
too cocky.
This is why I'm glad I was not on the internet till I was 30.
Yeah, but Mallory O'Meara, friend of the cast, I also sent to the group, said that this is a movie for filthy, horny freaks. And if you met me, if you know me, if you just were listening 2 minutes ago, you know.
If he's like, stop selling.
I'm a filthy, horny freak. So that it means that this is in fact a screener for me. I can't wait. I'm gonna bug Maggie so we can have this bumping at Vidiot's and get the horniest night going. We'll put Short Bus on after it. Just get it. It's going to be a long night.
Short Bus after it. God, weirdest thing ever.
All right, we'll be right back after we hear from another show from Maximum Fun.
Hello, sleepyheads. Sleeping with Celebrities is your podcast pillow pal. We talk to remarkable people about unremarkable topics, all to help you slow down your brain and drift off to sleep. For instance, we have the remarkable Neil Gaiman.
I'd always had a vague interest in live culture, food preparation.
Sleeping with Celebrities, hosted by me, John Moe, on MaximumFun.org or wherever you get your podcasts. Night-night.
Somewhere in an alternate universe where Hollywood is smarter.
And the Emmy nominees for Outstanding Comedy Series are Jetpacula, Airport Marriott, Threpple, Dear America, We've Seen You Naked, and Allah in the Family.
In our stupid universe, you can't see any of these shows, but you can listen to them on Dead Pilot Society, the podcast that brings you hilarious comedy pilots that the networks and streamers bought but never made. Journey to the alternate television universe of Dead Pilot Society on MaximumFun.org.
Welcome back to Maximum Film. I'm your host, Ify Wadiwe. In the studio with me are
Alonzo Duraldi,
Bobby Miller,
Drea Clark.
And here's a little thought experiment inspired by today's film. Not all movies are romances, but sometimes you really wish a movie would go there. What are some movies where either you wish the characters would just kiss already, or that you think in retrospect it would have been improved with a little kissing from its co-stars? Who wants to start?
My go-to in this is always a movie that I think is constantly on the verge of becoming gay porn, but never quite crossing that line. And that would be 1999's Fight Club. Seriously, almost every scene in that movie is just like shirtless dudes standing around, whomping the tar out of each other, getting in each other's face, being all intense. And I guess logistically, there's a reason why Brad Pitt
and
Edward don't actually make out. But I mean, they might as well.
I wouldn't hate to see it. I wouldn't hate to see it. I feel like you could justify that in some Freudian sort of way.
Of course,
yeah, you make it work.
Similar to the obvious of the, like, that if I thought about it enough, I could be like, oh, definitely there are scenes we don't see where they're kissing, and that is Iceman and Slider, Val Kilmer and Rick Rossovich in Top Gun.
Oh yeah,
that's what I thought was going to happen.
There are like many people in Top Gun that like if the baseline of what we're looking for is just kiss already, then Iceman and Slider, I mean, they're definitely kissing, so it's more just let me see you kiss already. I would like to watch those two men continue whatever like shower scene nonsense there's going on. Like, don't hate it.
If Rossovich just keep checking his watch the long way during it, that's fine too. You
know? I love that you just said that.
Do you do that checking your watch, but by completely rotating and flexing your arm?
Oh, you know, I've done that before.
Yes.
Well, my go-to.
But he puts his watch on his ankle when he does it. That's the thing.
I'm on a lot of Zooms. You might have seen me pull this off, but I love the hand behind the chair extend. If you see me shirtless, I probably busted that one out. You know?
If you've seen me shirtless, I've probably busted that one out.
Yeah, I meant sleeveless, but shirtless works too.
The iffy waterway story.
Yeah. I would say Steve Buscemi and John Goodman in The Big Lebowski.
Yeah, you did.
And you're just like, shut the fuck up, Donnie. And then they just make out. That would rock.
John Goodman and Rick Moranis in The Flintstones. John Goodman and Ed Harris in Sweet Dreams. The list goes on.
John Goodman make out with just about anybody. On the female front, and tell me if, first off, go rewatch this. It's a perfect film. But there is a scene in the motion picture, Death Becomes Her, when one Meryl Streep and one Isabella Rossellini are in conversation about mortality and whatever. And Isabella has like 15 necklaces on, end of list. Like
that's sort of the top.
A low slung thing. And she's giving off like every dude that's ever played a sexy vampire wishes they were giving off what Isabella Rossellini's giving off in Death Becomes Her. And if you watch that and you're like, oh, if those two kiss. Anyway, I would love someone to go back in time and remake that scene where they make out and that's how Meryl Streep gets her power, her non-aging power. I will also make out with Isabella Rossellini to not age. Just putting that out there, the secret style.
Now a warning?
I would do Batman and Joker and literally anything that both of them appear in.
Oh, yeah.
That's good. Yes.
The Dark Knight specifically, I was like, guys, come on, just cut the tension and kiss. Save Gotham and just have a little smooch.
That is such a good one.
Yeah.
Yeah. They want to kiss, and I don't want to stop them. Like, live your life. Yeah. Love.
You're like, make this pencil disappear. It just takes on whole new meaning if you put that into it, right?
Exactly.
Oh, yeah.
Okay, I do have one last one, because obviously this is a subject that I give a lot of thought to in my free time, whether or not it's posed by Marissa. Great question, by the way, Marissa. I feel like I might have said this before, and I realize part of it is like anti the point of the story, but on the just kiss already, on the supreme great sexual tension, Gina Davis and Samuel L. Jackson in The Long Kiss Goodnight. It's right there in the title. I think those two are so crackling together and have such a, and she has a whole thing where she like almost tries to, and then he's like, oh God, wait, do they actually kiss? And then he stops her. Man, I might have just negated myself.
Might be thinking of Black Snake Moan.
Yes, one so frequently gets those two.
Yeah, you know, because you were saying that's your favorite, Black Snake Moan. You watch it at least once a year.
That, and I regularly get Gina Davis and Christina Ricci confused.
Yeah, of course.
As so do we
it's
all. Like,
it's that kind of thing, yeah. But I think that the two of them do, I mean, that's their whole thing. They have this very crackling sexual energy, but if you're, you know, wanting Charlie Baltimore to sort of become the full woman and mother that she is, then you also don't want her to. Mm. That's the real, I mean, that's where the magic is, right?
Like, true.
Yeah.
And it's a Christmas movie.
Yeah, and it's a Christmas movie. Does anyone have any others? Do you guys not want people to kiss as much as I do all the time?
I personally do.
I love a kiss.
Tom Cruise, Brad Pitt, Interview with a Vampire. They kiss in the book, they kiss in the show, but they don't kiss in the movie. Tragic.
Mm-hmm. Oh, we did a whole episode about how that movie lets us down at every possible
corner. So many ways.
But you're so right. Why aren't they Frenching?
Yeah. They should be Frenching because, like, Brad Pitt in that movie is so depressing. I think one little smooch might have turned things around for him.
Really? Right?
It could have made it better, but we'll never know. I mean, he had the opportunity to kiss Tom Cruise and Antonio Banderas and didn't do it. No kissing.
I mean, if you're living forever, kiss everyone. What's your problem?
Yeah. Stephen Ray, even. Come on.
Right? That he's so obnoxious in that. Don't kiss him.
All okay. right. Well, look, thank y'all for playing. It's time to move on to something that we wait all year long for. See, because before we can get to the staff picks, we have a little holiday business to do. We're really in the thick of the holiday season now, and I'm hoping this is the week that Alonzo checked out the Urkel one. And our Christmas Zaddy hasn't let us down yet. He's going to take 1 minute to tell us all the holiday films he's taken in over the past week. Are you ready, Alonzo?
Yes.
Then go crazy.
Okay, I'm just saying up front, light week for me because last week's got turned in late and I've been taking care of my husband who's had hip surgery and I've got the LA Film Critics voting meeting coming up. So all I got for you this week is two, one pretty great and one rather disappointing. Candy Cane Lane, starring Eddie Murphy on Prime Video. Lots of fun. Jillian Bell's in it and Tracy Ellis Ross and David Alan Greer. Reginald Hudlin directed. It's a hoot. And they have a lot of fun with the concept. And it's just a blast. I really enjoyed it. On the disappointing side is from Lifetime's Ladies of the 80s, A Diva's Christmas. Was I happy to see Lonnie Anderson, Morgan Fairchild, Linda Gray, Donna Mills, and Nicolette Sheridan at the top of the call sheet? Yes. Did the writers give them nearly enough to do or anything funny to say? Not so much, sadly. So, kind of a bummer, wasted opportunity. But seriously, watch Candy Cane Lane. It's a hoot. And that's all I got this week. But next week, I promise, is going to be jam-packed because it's that time of year, and that's going to be my life.
Yes.
Hey, that was two more Christmas movies than I watched this week. So
Yeah, I know. It was good.
I feel like I've let everyone down, so I apologize.
Well, look, in the movie where we saw one character get jam-packed before getting framed for stealing something, I guess he got jam-packed and then framed. Oh. Whatever. I'm talking about stuff, Drea. It's time for staff picks.
You did not.
Oh, God. You thought you were done after this freaky deaky movie? Yeah, nah, this is the most horny layups I could do.
It's true.
But staff picks, it could be any movie at all. Who wants to start?
So I have another horny movie about a guy who is obsessed with a like glamorous, hunkier dude and who carries that obsession well past the finish line, even when, anyway, I don't want to spoil anything. I'm just going to say check out Francois Ozon's Summer of 85. It is a really fun mid-80s period piece. Lots of beaches and sailboats and hot, horny teens. And very much, I think, fits in with the kind of shenanigans that we see go down in Saltburn. It came out during the pandemic here in the U.S. So in 2020, when we were all stuck at home and maybe people weren't running to see a sort of morbidly funny and sexy French import. So you can do it now. Summer of 85.
Nice. Good call.
Yeah, amazing.
I, believe it or not, have a horny film myself.
Ooh.
Sticking variations of a theme here. One of the exciting revelations of Saltburn for me, as I mentioned, was Barry Keoghan all of a sudden giving a stern whispered commands, which of course brought to mind my beloved Secretary. If you haven't seen this film with old Maggie Gyllenhaal and James Spader, the king of all whispered commands, then please check it out. She plays the secretary, he plays the boss. It goes exactly where you think it will. And if you're wondering if she has to ask him how many peas she can eat for dinner, she does. And it's still hot. It is currently on Tubi and Freevee, where you can watch it free with ads, or it's a dollar rental on YouTube. So, nice. Secretary.
I didn't know we were keeping a horny theme. I feel like such a downer because mine is not horny at all. my pick is May December. Saw it on Friday. It's on Netflix, and I had a wonderful time with it. I think it's hard to talk about it without spoiling it, so I'll try and be as brief
as I can. It's not horny, Bobby.
Well, yeah. It's problematically horny in a way that Saltburn somehow is not, but it's like a different, it's horny in a bad way, but it is everything that you've heard. Charles Melton is truly just a vision in the film. He's so great, but also Natalie Portman and Julianne Moore, I mean, putting on a clinic of acting performances. I think it shocked me. It's dramatic, it's melodramatic, still on the fence of campy or not. I know Twitter has been ablaze with whether it's campy or not, but definitely is worth a watch. I think the pacing is like perfect, and I was left wanting more. Highly, highly, highly recommend.
It's incredible. Ooh. You'll want to watch it multiple times.
Yes.
Yeah. Well, yeah, I will stop the horny train and actually pitch a Christmas movie about a doctor and his wife, directed by Stanley Kubrick, and that is Eyes Wide Shut, baby. Walk in there and learn a password and see some freaky deaky stuff. Let's go. Thank you so much, Bobby Biller. Where can folks follow you and catch the afternoon special?
You can find the afternoon special on TikTok or Instagram at the afternoon special, or you can find me shouting into the abyss on Twitter at Hi, I'm Bobby, HIIMBOBBI. I also have a podcast, the afternoon special podcast, weekly uploads every Wednesday. It's just me. It's not as exciting as this podcast. So if you liked hearing the dulcet sounds of my voice talking about pop culture, that's where you can find me.
You get interrupted less.
Yeah, I know that. Yeah, your fans are listening to this like, who are these other people? Tell them to shut up. Why is that guy so horny and loud?
Honestly, they're like, oh, she's in good company with other horny people. Great.
Yeah.
Should be less horny on Twitter.
Yeah. Look, that's it. We're doing the predator handshake. We're just strong. Oh, man. Well, and thank you to Dre and Alonzo for another wonderful show sitting in with us. And Alonzo, you know, swift recovery to the husband.
Thank you, sir.
We love him. And if you have a comment or suggestion about this week's show, send us an email at maximumfilm@maximumfun.org or find us on any of our social media channels that are all in the show notes. Next week, we'll be talking about Poor Things. Our producer is the wonderful Marissa Flaxbart, who, like, I know you've been asking, yeah, face red the whole time. Our senior producer is Laura Swisher, who is probably giggling to herself while listening at home. And this is a production of Maximum Fun, which I visited, got into that hot booth with Jesse Thorne and Jordan Moores. It's still hot. And we're probably never coming back. Bye-bye.
Maximum Fun, a worker-owned network
of artist-owned shows,
supported
directly
by you.